Today is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 10, and it starts with verse 25. Most of you will know that this is the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I didn't really think about it much when I heard it growing up until I was the person on the side of the road that needed rescuing, and the first responders were there for me in a very, very big way. Thinking back on it, I think the most important thing they did that night was keeping my dad from getting a hold of the kid that hit me because he wanted to kill him. But they were there for me too. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." May the Lord add understanding to the reading and hearing of this word.
Thank you, Julie. Again, love the hat. If I was to ask you this morning if you ever had an occasion in your life when you needed rescued, I imagine there's a few of you that would raise your hand and say, "Yeah, there have been times in my life when I needed rescue." You mentioned one very powerful one earlier. You know, I have never been in a case myself where I've had to have an EMT or a fireman or a police officer rescue me. I've had a police officer tell me I should slow down before. I've had that happen. So maybe I did need rescued, because if you didn't slow down, I'd get in trouble some other way, so I'm grateful for that. But, you know, I can think of a couple occasions just from my own life growing up where I had a first responder come to me that wasn't someone with training, but my brother was a first responder once when I was a kid. Now, as a kid, you sometimes do things you aren't supposed to do, right? We're kind of wired that way. You shouldn't do this. Mom and Dad said, don't go across the road in the spring with the raging waters running through that creek, because it can get out of hand and something could happen. Well, it's spring and there's some raging waters over there. So I cross the road and I go over there and I'm looking at this and I'm getting too close, and all of a sudden I fell through and this water was just raging through, and I was holding on just with my two arms, and I thought, if I go under, I'm dead. Because you see, there was this open spot, and from that point on down, it was frozen over. So I would have been trapped. So I holler at the top of my lungs. Fortunately, my older brother heard me. He came over and reached down and grabbed me. I don't think I could have gotten out myself And he grabbed me. He rescued me. So I'm grateful to that. That was a first responder because he came, he responded, and he saved me from what could have been much worse. You know, my brother, the same brother actually who saved me, when he was in his late teens, maybe early 20s, he swerved to miss a skunk on the road once, and a little VW bug. Didn't work very well. The car flipped over a couple times, rolled over about three times, and he flew off into a plowed field. Put a hole in the field with his shoulder about this long and about that deep. You can imagine what kind of pressure that would put on your body. He broke his back in three places. He went across the road where there was a creek. It had been very, very wet. And he fell down the creek and thought he was done. Couldn't get up. Water. He thought he was going to drown. But in his case, the first responder wasn't an actual person. He doesn't share the story very often. And he's not with me right now, so I can share the story anyway. He's probably taking care of sheep right now, lambing season. He said he felt something, someone, reach down and pick him up. He got out of that creek. After that, first responders did come. They took care of him. And otherwise, he thinks he might have been dead. But that's my brother, who was a farmer and doing well. And he was rescued. So I think of a couple occasions just from my own personal experience and my brother's experience where we need rescued. And we were rescued. And I'm thankful for that. And I imagine if I took the time this morning, there are many of you that could share a whole lot of stories about that. But I just wanted to, first and foremost, like we were doing this morning when we came in and we had our little slideshow here, I want to thank God for first responders. You know, I said to the kids here, a first responder may not be the first one you have contact with. Some people aren't rescuing you. They might walk right on by you. Some people have other things that they're wanting to do, perhaps. You know the story, and I'm going to get to it in a little bit about the Good Samaritan. But the first responder, by its definition, the way we use it, is the one who comes and helps. And I want to get that this morning because I think for us, we're thankful for those first responders because they wear a uniform, because they do whatever. That's their job, and they come in, and when they need to respond, they respond. I think almost all of those folks, even if they're out of uniform, would respond anyway. But that's kind of what they're paid to do, right? To respond when there's a need. I want us to think about this as a church sometimes, and as people who are called Christians, when we have an opportunity to help, that we would be more like this Good Samaritan we're going to talk about, not others that walk on by and don't pay any attention. We're not first responders if we're not responding to whatever the situation is. And I want us to be reminded of that this morning. Sometimes we don't see danger coming. Therefore, we don't think we need saving. Think about it as kids, you know, the kid that's running out into traffic. And they aren't paying any attention to the fact that cars coming down the road this way, or trucks coming this way, or the you know, garbage van is going by with whatever. They don't pay any attention, and they don't know that they need saved. But then there's mom, or there's dad, or there's someone walking down the sidewalk, and they grab the child before they go out, and they get hit. First responders, they respond at times like that, or the riptide on the beach. You know, as a kid, everybody kept talking about the riptide and all that sort of thing. And I remember going out one time, and I think it was out in Lake Michigan. I was a kid living up north, and we'd come down here, and we're out on the beach, and the waves were pretty wild. It was kind of cool, and someone said, you know, be careful about this riptide. What are you talking about? What's a riptide? And experience, it scared me for a minute. But how I was pulled, not just out, but kind of under a little bit by this riptide. I didn't know there was danger coming, even though someone told me there's danger coming. How many times we find ourselves in situations where we don't see danger coming, but danger is there, and people are there, perhaps, to save us. You know that story of Daniel? I didn't have Julie shared the whole story, but you know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. How he was singled out by those who were in power, some who were in power, not the king himself, he liked Daniel, but others who didn't like the fact that Daniel was doing his own thing and was being treated pretty well, and he was well respected, and so they had this sneaky idea where to get Daniel in trouble. You know, and they told the king, you know, no one should be praying to any other gods. They need to be acknowledging you as king and all that sort of thing. Anyway, they saw Daniel doing something he shouldn't be doing. He was caught with this decree that the king had signed, and he was supposed to be put in the lion's den. Think about that story. Who was the first responder in that one? Well, that was God himself, wasn't it? Was it Daniel? And it was the lions. Or actually, I could say God said, hey, angel, go down there and shut, because it said an angel shut the mouths of the lions down there in that pit. God responded when Daniel was in trouble. I don't know what Daniel was feeling down there. You know, we call ourselves people of faith, but when we face danger, sometimes we don't look like we have a whole lot of faith sometimes, do we? It's rather than, I'm calm, I'm cool. It's like, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know exactly what Daniel was feeling at the time, but at some point along the line, he thought, you know what? God's got this. I'm okay. The lions must have eaten before I got down here. I don't know. But their mouths are shut and I'm okay. And God responded. Daniel, I'm sure when he was down there, was doing this. He was praying. God. There was someone else that was praying for him as well. You know who it was? King Darius. Who thought, you tricked me. These people tricked me into putting a situation in place where Daniel was going to get in trouble. You tricked me. And he hated it, but he had signed the decree, so he had to do it. And he was praying. In fact, it says way back in Daniel, there, long before the text I read, back in, I believe it's verse 16, the king said to Daniel, before he was, as he was being put into life then, may your God whom you serve rescue you. Huh? Sometimes it's even the person who's not necessarily the person of faith that helps us to understand you serve a God who can do some mighty things. And this God did a mighty thing for Daniel and rescued him. He definitely knew he needed saving. He was in a situation where it was obvious. And isn't it amazing what God had done for him? Now, what about the Good Samaritan? Just to go to that one briefly here this morning. The Good Samaritan. This story is interesting and it's packed with a lot of stuff. You can go a lot of different ways with this story. The thing that intrigues me the most about the story is the first two people who stopped to help this person who was in need, who had been robbed and beaten by these robbers, were supposedly religious people. Kind of damning, isn't it? The first two people to come and walk by this person who was in need, one was a priest. I hazard to say in this parable, he was a priest in name only, because if he was a priest who was a bearer or protector of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, that he would have responded differently than what he did. But Jesus, I think, in sharing this parable, was trying to say the people that need to be the Good Samaritan the most oftentimes aren't, and they should be. If anyone should feel that there would be first responders to whatever their need is, their hurt, their pain, and it may not be because of accidents, it may not be of whatever, but it could just be a hurting neighbor, whatever, can they not count on those who claim to be people of faith to stop, to say hi, put an arm on their shoulder and say, hey, I know you must be hurting. I want to help you. I want to be there for you. But I look at this parable and I see again, there's the priest, the first one. Then after that, there's the Levite, who also was of a religious a class of people. His issue was, though, I got to do my thing, and I don't want to be unclean, messing with you and blood and all that sort of stuff. I'm probably heading over to the temple, and if I'm messing with you, then I'm unclean. I have to do all this stuff to be clean again. You know, I'm glad I don't live back in that day where they had all these cleanliness rules, you know, where you touch a dead thing or something, you got to do this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, you're unclean for a while and all that sort of stuff. I'm sure I'd mess it up. Well, am I clean or unclean today? I'm not sure. What did I do? Living on the farm, I was always unclean. Always messing with dirt and manure and all that sort of stuff. You were clean all the time. Unclean all the time. But anyway, here were these two. They go by. They don't do anything. And packed into this parable is a third person identified as a Samaritan. Now, if you were a Jew reading this parable, if you're hearing this parable or reading this parable, you'd say, why did he choose a Samaritan? Because we don't like them. They're half-Jews. They're no good people. Samaritans are not good people because they're not like us. They don't have the same bloodline that I do. Yet it was the Samaritan that was the first responder. It was the Samaritan that was one that looked and saw this person who was in need and responded. Even though he was hated by the Jews, it didn't matter. He did the right thing. And he went over, I don't know if you say overboard, but he even said if he's up in the hotel and needs to eat or whatever, look, just let me know and I'll pay whatever it takes to take care of this guy who's hurting right now. I look at that story. Isn't it packed with a bunch of different things we could go with here? And you could go with this too. Sometimes the very person you don't think is going to be that first responder, that one that's going to respond in a Christ-like way, and yet they're the ones who respond that way. And those of us who wear Christian witness t-shirts and say, you know, Jesus loves me and I love you too and all that stuff, and I go buy someone, you know, in the store or at the cashier and say, you know, cashier, you know, get with it. I mean, we've been waiting here for who knows how long and all that sort of thing. You respond in a real Christ-like fashion. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The way we are sometimes, we are not who we should be. The Good Samaritan, Jesus was trying to tell us, not so much, it's not who you are, but it is what you do. It's how you act. It's how you behave. It's what's in your heart, because what's in your heart is going to come out in the way you live your life. I'm grateful for first responders. I'm grateful for these first responders in God's Word that tell us how you and I ought to respond, and remember how the one who died for us responded to us when we were in need, Jesus Himself. The greatest of all first responders was Jesus Himself. Many came and said they were the answer to what ails us, but they couldn't really rescue us from our problem. There's one that has a permanent solution, not a temporary solution. As I've said so many times in the past, all these other who came and said that they would rescue us, they're all dead. Jesus is alive. They all died. Jesus was and is the only one that could actually save us. He responded first, and we accept it. I guess I'd like to say in closing, you know, all of you actual first responders out here, you're in great company with the one who is the best of all first responders, Jesus Himself. Even though we didn't deserve it, in fact, oftentimes we were jerks about it. He says, I love you in spite of yourself. And He takes us as broken, messed up people and says, I'm going to love you the way you are and take you from here to where I'd like us to go together. And so in saying that, even though I hope you and I are a little bit convicted this morning about being the priest or the Levite sometimes, we go to church, we wear the shirt, we have a cross around our neck. You know, we do these things that may point us out as being a person of faith. But how do we act? to our family, to our neighbor, to our enemy? Are we first responders, or are we the priest, the Levite? God takes the not so like people sometimes in the world and says, I want you to be the first responder, like the Samaritan. I want to be that. I hope you do too. You know, that was perfect, by the way, John. That was perfect. We end our service with a little call there from Central Dispatch. Anyway, we'll end with that. And again, I just want to thank all of our first responders who are here. Those who couldn't come, we're thankful for you as well. And do as I say as you leave. By the way, everyone's welcome to stay for lunch afterwards. We have Sloppy Joe's, Ross Bell's secret recipe. And then we have potato chips. There's no secret recipe to that. And there's also some cake as well, too, if you'd like to stay and enjoy some time after church. But let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for first responders. And thank you that you are the ultimate first responder. We are grateful for that. We thank you that when we need saving, even when we don't know it, you're there for us. Always have been. Always will be. And so we thank you for that. Lord, bless those who respond to our times of need in our life here on this earth. When we're in trouble, we're grateful that they come to the rescue to help us, to take care of us. We thank you for them. But more than anything, we thank you for Jesus, who died our death and rose for our sake. For it's in his name we do pray. Amen.